This is The Ascending Life with Pastor Josh Blevins of Grace Calvary Chapel.
Following Jesus is hard and unnecessary, so why don't you come back and shrink back and go back to the old way, to the old system? And the book of Hebrews is a very 13 chapters of this argument of once you find Jesus, you can't go back. Why? Because the title of this whole series, I've titled it, Jesus is Better. Well, better than what? Better than everything.
The better way is rarely the easier way. If you lived in this world for any length of time, you likely have found that to be true in many aspects of your life. This characteristic of living reflects the nature of our relationship with God. It's easy to turn inwards and serve self, even when it hurts others. But that's far from the better approach to relationship. In today's message, Pastor Josh will remind us of this truth and challenge us to seek a better way in Jesus Christ. It's time to stop settling for easy and comfortable. Now, here's Pastor Josh in the book of Hebrews chapter 1 with today's edition of The Ascending Life.
Of Hebrews is a theologically deep book written by a Jew to Jews who had come to know Christ. And of course, many scholars would agree that the tone and the tenor of the letter indicate that this letter was written to probably Jewish believers that were located in the central hub of Judaism, which was Jerusalem. It still is. And in Jerusalem, these people who came to know and understand that Jesus was the fulfillment of the law and the prophets, he was the promised Messiah. And when they were challenged and convicted by the gospel that he had fulfilled that ultimate sacrifice for their sins and that the old covenant was complete in him and no longer needed in order to be right with God, they received that into their lives. But what did that mean? That means that as a Jew, as still in many parts of the world today, to become a Christian, a follower of Jesus, meant that you would be kicked out of your family, ostracized from your community, that you would pay a price of persecution and sacrifice for following Jesus as the only way, the only truth, and the only life. And the temptation that the book of Hebrews addresses was threefold. Basically, the Jews who had become Christians and now were suffering persecution and loss and sacrificing their livelihoods, their incomes, their lives itself to follow Jesus, were being told by their Jewish friends and family, comrades, whatever you want to say, come back. Why would you want to risk it all and put it on the line for Jesus when you have the law, when you have Moses, when you have Abraham, we have the tradition, we have the old covenant, you have this safety blanket, so to speak, of Judaism? Following Jesus is hard and unnecessary, so why don't you come back and shrink back and go back to the old way, to the old system? And the book of Hebrews is a very 13 chapters of this argument of once you find Jesus, you can't go back. Why? Because the title of this whole series, I've titled it, Jesus is Better. Well, better than what? Better than everything. In 13 chapters, we see this word better 13 separate times, that Jesus is better than the angels. Jesus is the better voice. Jesus is better than Melchizedek and the Levitical priest. Jesus is the better sacrifice. Jesus is better than Moses. Jesus is better than Abraham. Jesus is better, period. How many of you guys can testify with me that you found Jesus and all the longings of your soul, all the questions in your heart, right, everything found its completion once you came to find Jesus? Now, that doesn't mean that questions don't arise. It doesn't mean that we don't fight through and wrestle through issues. It doesn't mean that we become perfected, but we experience time and time and time again that Jesus is enough, that he is more than enough. And the book of Hebrews addresses these three arguments that the people then were being tempted by. And that is, number one, that there is something other than Jesus that you can do, right? There's another way. You can bypass the cross. You can get to God through other means and through other roads, other than simply going to Jesus. Number two, that something, there's something out there that's better than Jesus, right? That Jesus, the newness of Jesus will wear off, and you know, you need to find something better to fulfill your life. And then thirdly, that there's something easier than Jesus. After all, you just deny Jesus and you can come back into the safety and the protection of Judaism, and you won't have to give up and you won't have to sacrifice. And even though these three, none of us here are not Jewish Christians who are being tempted back to go back to Judaism, how much does our culture still tempt us with those three ideas? There's something out there other than Jesus. Don't be narrow-minded. Open up your smorgasbord of spirituality to other ideas, and you know, don't be such an archaic thinker when it comes to religion. Or there's something better than Jesus. Or there's something easier than Jesus. It's still a temptation today, which is why we need the book of Hebrews to remind us that to live is Christ and to die is gain. That Jesus, the case here is that Jesus is truly who he said he is, and that following him is always worth it in the end. But if you're going to lay everything else out on the line to know to follow Jesus, it's a good thing to know who you're following and why he deserves your very life. And so this morning we look at verses 1-3 with a message entitled, Jesus is the Better Voice. Jesus is the Better Voice. You might want to jot that down. Here's a summary of the entire message in two sentences. This morning we'll learn that the fullness of God's communication to humanity is found in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Therefore, we must ensure that the voice of Jesus speaks louder to us than every other voice that seeks to influence our lives. Amen? Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1-3 speaks that God communicates through the person of Jesus in five different ways. If you're taking notes, jot this first point down. Number one, verses 1-2 teach us that God communicates his truth. God communicates his truth in the person of Jesus. Verse 1 tells us that God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. You might want to note the first word of the letter. Why? Because it's unlike other pastoral epistles or apostolic epistles where you would have a letter introduce the author. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Peter, by the will of God, doesn't introduce the human author at all. In fact, the human author is anonymous. We believe that it's Paul the apostle. If you want more info on that, you can listen to last week's message from First Service online. But I love the first word is God, because ultimately this book is written by God. And it's God declaring who he is in the person of Jesus Christ. And I love the fact that right in the first two verses, the author dismantles and dispels both atheism and agnosticism right in one statement. Why? Because he starts off with the word God. In the author's mind, God does not have to have his existence proved because it's already evident. How many of you guys know some atheists or agnostic people? Atheist being God doesn't exist, and agnostic being maybe God exists, but he's uninvolved. Well, right here, we're told that God's existence is self-evident, and not only is he involved, but he is a communicative God. He communicates, he speaks with, he reveals himself to his creation. And God is that self-evident God. Psalm 19, verse 1 tells us that the heavens declare the glory of who? Mother Earth? Nature? No, the glory of God. And the firmament displays his handiwork. In fact, we have a very clear picture in Romans chapter 1 exactly what has gone wrong. In Romans chapter 1, Paul makes the argument that everything needed to be known about God is displayed in his creative works, and that there is no man or woman or person without excuse when it comes to the knowledge that only such intricate design demands that there would be a designer, a creator, who is behind, a mind behind the infrastructure of the universe. The things seen and unseen. The Bible is clear. It's evident to all. Well, then why don't people believe? Because the Bible is also clear that people have chosen to deny God because they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. They don't want there to be a God. They don't want to have a higher moral accountability. They don't want to have a higher authority. They want to be God themselves. This has always been the struggle of humanity from the very beginning. But God is self-existent. And I love this because it also tells us that the more we learn about the things he created, the more evident he becomes. You know, there are some who say, well, in our modern, we can understand why people believed in God and sort of invented God back in ancient times when they didn't have science and they didn't have knowledge and they needed God as sort of a crutch and an explanation to explain their existence. When the bigger question is, why are you thinking about your existence? I think it was C.S. Lewis who said, only human beings, among all other creatures, only human beings can understand that they exist. Think about that. We were created to know God. And yet, because of unrighteousness, the world suppresses the knowledge of God. I feel the opposite, man. The more I learn about science, which is not very much, to be honest with you, I'm not a scientist, but I'll read articles every once in a while. And the more I learn about the intricacies of life and the operation and functions of the human body, or a new discovery about how physics works or how stars work, I don't think, that clearly dispels the idea of God. I think, man, God is even more amazing than I even thought at first. I mean, who could think up such things? It's one thing to believe in God when you see everything as it is and you don't know how it works. But then to get in and dig deeper, and you find out it's so much more designed and purposeful and intricate and intentional than you could ever imagine, and it shouldn't even function on its own. Someday science, when they finally, well, probably not, but I would hope, when they reach their pinnacle, you know what they're going to find at the end of the line, right? God. We've been trying to tell you guys this the whole time. The real reason I love this first word, God, is because at the beginning of every story worth telling, there's God. Where were you before God, right? Everything that makes our lives worth living, our story worth telling, is because at some point God entered into the equation. From the very beginning, he called us. Before we were even formed, he knew us. God was at the beginning of creation. God was at the beginning of time. God was at the beginning of matter. God was at the beginning of our journey. Notice also that God doesn't simply exist, but as I said, God is a communicative being. He is a being. He has a personality. He has not shut his mouth, so to speak. He hasn't become inaudible to his creation, but from the very beginning, he made himself known and he spoke. Here in verse 1, and we learn that God, in various times and in various ways, has spoken to his people and to humanity. All throughout history and through various different methods, God has been making himself known. He's, of course, as we mentioned, made himself, his voice known in creation. He's made his voice known in the moral makeup of the human being created in his image. And if his divine creation wasn't enough, he made himself known and he spoke. Here we're told through the prophets of old. That is, God called Abraham and created a special, peculiar people, a nation called Israel, to be his spokesperson, to be his voice, to be the picture of his holiness and his righteousness and his person to the unbelieving world around them. And in Israel, God ordained prophets. Now, I don't have an exact count, but the count I got was at least 65 people in the Old Testament that spoke prophetically for the Lord, his truth. And that's what a prophet was. A prophet was basically a divine institution of God to communicate his voice, his heart, his will, his nature to the people so they understood him more, to communicate his plan for them. And these were the prophets. You could say that in times past, God spoke through many mouths and in many ways. Once he spoke through a donkey. You might remember that story. Once he spoke in a still small voice. And he spoke through his prophet in versatile ways. Some preached, others acted out lessons, others did miracles, others interpreted dreams. Why is this so important? Why is the author laying out this key importance that God speaks and God has spoken to this Jewish audience, because in the Jewish mind, Judaism is built upon the foundation of the law, Moses, and the law that was received on Mount Sinai when God spoke to Moses, and the prophets, when God spoke through the prophets. This is what Judaism was built upon. And here the author makes the case that while the prophets clearly express the voice and communication of God, and while the law reveals a certain aspect of God's moral character and nature and holiness, that those two things are incomplete pictures apart from Jesus. That Jesus is the one who brings full clarity to the old covenant. I love how David Guzik puts it. Check this out. He says, using the properties of light as an illustration, we may say that God spoke in a spectrum in the Old Testament. Jesus is a prism that collected all those bands of light and focused them into one pure beam. In other words, he brought clarity and fulfillment to everything, every picture, every analogy, sacrifices, the old way of the law and the prophets, and Jesus brought forth a complete picture. You could say it like this, that God's truth was rooted in Judaism, but revealed in Jesus. And there he says, the author, in these last days, he has spoken through his son. Literally, the word is final times. In other words, the moment that Jesus rose from the dead, the last days began. And you and I are in the final time. We are in the final season of human history. And in this final time, God has selected a way to communicate his truth to humanity. And it's in the person of Jesus Christ, the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, his death, his resurrection. Jesus is the last chapter, so to speak. Have you ever watched the Super Bowl and seen those commercials where they like kind of tell a story throughout and they say, to see the end of the story, go to, you know, www.seetheendofthestory.com or something. You go there and you check it out. Jesus is the end. Why is that so important? Because, well, on a side note, we need to always be leery of anyone who comes declaring that they have a new revelation, a new prophetic explanation or revelation of God. Why? Because Jesus sealed the deal. He was and is the fullness of God's communication to humanity. God did not send Muhammad to bring us the next fuller version of his unfolding plan. God didn't send us Joseph Smith to bring us a new revelation of Jesus Christ in America and a new book that we have to try to understand and learn about these new things Jesus did. No. Those are all expressions and perversions and diversions from us staying focused on the person of Jesus Christ as recorded in the scripture. He is a living word of God. When you think of new covenant prophets, you know, yes, there are prophets in the Old Testament. Some might say, well, Josh, doesn't the Bible say there's prophets in the New Testament? Yes, there are. There are prophets. There is a gift of prophecy in the New Testament. But here's the thing about new covenant prophets. New covenant prophets don't reveal new truth about God. They freshly apply the old truth that God has already revealed. So always be careful if someone comes telling you that they have some new revelation that God's given them that you won't know and you can't find in the Bible because God gave it specifically to them. That is not how God speaks in these times because the Bible's clear. Jesus will not contradict today something he said or revealed 2,000 years ago. Jesus is not confused. It's not like Jesus wakes up one morning in heaven and says, you know that thing I said, you know, 2,000 years ago? It was kind of, you know, I was kind of behind the times then, so I'm changing my mind. And I'm going to tell you what I really meant, or I'm going to tell you that I didn't mean that, or I'm going to say something new so you can kind of get with the culture. No. Jesus, the Bible says, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the Alpha, he is the Omega, he is the beginning and the end. In fact, in all human history, until human history comes to an end, Everything will rock and shake and go up and down, but Jesus and his word will remain consistent and steady. That is why you can trust it. That is why you should trust it. If you want a voice that will speak into your darkness, light and clarity into your confusion, and truth into your uncertainty, and courage into your chaos and fear, then let him who has an ear hear what Jesus says through the Spirit to his church. God communicates his truth through the person of Jesus. Number two, verse 2 teaches us that God communicates his creative power through the person of Jesus. God communicates his creative power through the person of Jesus. Verse 2 says, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. This is unbelievable. I mean, okay, unbelievable is not the right word. It's unimaginable, unfathomable. Here, the author is looking at a Jewish audience saying that Jesus Christ not only is the full expression of God's communication, greater than the prophets, greater than Moses, greater than the law, but that he also is the creator of all things. This Jesus is the one who spoke all the worlds into existence. When I was a kid, one of my favorite things to do was go up on our roof, and I would lay on the roof, and I would just stare up at the stars. I mean, I don't want to ask for a raise of hands, but has anyone really gone through life and not at some point in your life looked up on a clear night and just went, wow? Let's say you didn't even think about God at that point, but you were just felt so small and so intrigued by the vastness of what you are in. That's how it should be. When I was looking at this, I wanted to remind myself of how small I was, and I thought, you know, when you look at the scale of just this little blue ball of earth in the middle of this vast universe, right? The sun, it's 109 times the diameter of the earth. Wow, it's so massive. But the biggest star in the universe is 1,700 times the diameter of our sun. And there's about 30 known stars that are about that size, but 30 is such a small number when you consider that there's 100 billion stars in every galaxy, and there's probably 2 trillion galaxies in the known universe, and who knows how far it extends beyond what we even know. And then I open the Bible, and I read in the book of Psalms, God measures the heavens with a span, a ruler, that he counts the stars, and he calls them all by name. Notice here it says, through whom he also made the worlds. You might want to notice that plural there, worlds. I actually like this. No, I'm not going to talk about aliens today, okay? Lots of UFO activity going on these days. All I know is if there are aliens, God created them. And boy, I better stop. I believe that mainly we're seeing a ton of demonic deception, really. Spiritual forces in the heavenly places, demonic realms manifesting themselves to deceive humanity. This is all happening today.
Thanks for joining us today for Pastor Josh's study from the New Testament book called Hebrews. We hope you've been encouraged in your love of God and your love of the people of this world. If you'd like more information about the Ascending Life or would like to hear other teachings from Pastor Josh, visit our website at theascendinglife.com. We have an array of messages from different topics gleaned from God's Word, available in video and audio format. Feel free to download these messages and take them on the go as well. It's always great to add a bit of God's Word to every situation. And in this fast-paced world we're a part of, that can change the mood of a day in an instant. You'll also find links on our website to our social media pages, and we'd love to connect with you there. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Instagram to stay up to date with everything happening at The Ascending Life and Grace Church. You'll find links to both at graceontheweb.org. If you're in the St. Joseph area, we'd be honored to have you join us at Grace Calvary Chapel for our weekly service. You'll find all the information you need about our church, service times, and locations at theascendinglife.com. Not in the area? No worries. you can still join us this Sunday for worship via our live stream. Just visit theascendinglife.com to connect. Thanks for being a part of our listening audience. We hope you've been encouraged by what Pastor Josh shared. There's much more to learn from the book of Hebrews, so be sure to join us next time, right here on The Ascending Life. We're reaching up, we're pressing in.